Well, good afternoon, everyone, again. Thanks for coming. I can read an introductory verse in Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, Matthew 11 and 28, and he says this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, 28. We're going to read in the Old Testament now, and a favorite book of mine, although I don't understand a lot of it. We're going to read in Isaiah, please, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call the nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and make it bringeth forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn tree shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this afternoon. Now, I don't have a lot of notes here, but what I was thinking about was, there may be folk would agree that the Bible is the Word of God. There may be folk even in this hall would agree that they've maybe done things that they shouldn't have. They've maybe said things they shouldn't have. They've maybe gone to places they shouldn't have. And they've maybe spoken words that they shouldn't have. And if you pushed the folk kindly, they would say, "Yes, if that's what the Bible calls sin, then I have sinned. And before God, you may even confess that I am a sinner." Or you might not. Or you might argue a black crow white. Now, the Bible says specifically that there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't think you would argue with that. Well, wait till after the meeting to see if you are going to argue with that. But I don't think anybody would argue that they've never done anything wrong, that they've never thought any bad thoughts, that they've never said things they shouldn't have said. done things they shouldn't have, coveted it and been envious and all these things, and maybe hated somebody with envy and hatred and murder in their heart. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but you may have done that. And you may admit that the Bible is real and the Bible is God's word. And that's good. And you may be in this little room this evening, or if this makes it to YouTube, you may be listening. And you would agree that the Bible is true. Who am I to argue with God in heaven? This is God's word, and I believe it. And that's it. So you could live, and you could die in your sins. And I want to remind you very kindly what the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus, the most loving person that ever walked on this earth, and for the benefit of us males, the most loving man that ever walked on this earth. And know what he's told the people who believed that this word was true, who believed that every word of this true. Know what the Lord Jesus told the people who believed that? He says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That's what the Savior said. Would you argue with that? That Jesus said on more than one occasion in John, I tell you again, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. It's not you may not come, you will not come. So you may agree that the Bible is the word of God. You may even believe the Bible is a holy book. You may even believe that. You may even believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came down to this earth, and all the wonderful miracles that the Bible says he did, you might believe all that. All the wonderful words that Jesus spoke, and the people, the common people, heard him gladly, because these religious people, these churchy folk, they were making burdens to burden people down. And here was the Lord Jesus. He spoke with power and he spoke with authority. And it says the common people heard him gladly. And you might read the words of Jesus when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you think, oh, this is pretty cool. The Lord Jesus spoke great words, but that's not you getting right with God. So what I wanted to do this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen and younger folk, was I want to explore, with the help of God, I want to examine with the Spirit of God how you could know this afternoon that you are ready for heaven, that you are born again, that you are ready to meet that awesome and holy God. And that's why we read Isaiah 55. Such a beautiful thing. I was just thinking as I was sitting if Isaiah had been a Scottish person, and he wasn't, and if Isaiah had been an Ulster person, and he wasn't, we probably would have put a wee eye at the start of Isaiah 55, and we would have said, hoy, everyone that thirsteth. This is a call we have read in Isaiah 53. We have read in Isaiah 53 about someone who came, someone that God has punished. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and we spoke about that in the past, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have come from that. And hear the word of Isaiah. He says, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. And I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls who may listen to this little service, where are you in your spiritual walk? Where are you before a holy God? Do you acknowledge that there is a God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God? Do you believe the Bible to be true? And yet you have never, ever come into a living relationship with the God of heaven. I wonder, just as I hadn't even wrote this down because I'm not that intelligent, but just as I was reading Isaiah 55, did you pick up that everlasting was written twice in that chapter? What God has for us is everlasting. What God wants to give us and to bring us into is something that is everlasting. Everlasting covenant in verse 3. And later on it says, something about everlasting as well. Because what we preach here is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we tell you that you need is called salvation. And salvation starts the day and the hour that you come before God and you confess that you are a sinner, that you are heading for hell in the lake of fire, that you can do nothing to save or help yourself, and you cry out to God for mercy. Have you ever come into that experience? Have you ever come into the good of faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here the thing here is, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye to the waters. And it says everyone. This includes everyone, man, woman, boy, and girl. It includes the Jews, the Gentiles, and the message of Isaiah is, ho, everyone that is thirsty. So the big question is this afternoon, are you thirsting to get right with God? Do you have a desire to change your life? Do you have a desire to get right with God? Do you have a desire that your sins, however many they are, however black they are, do you have a desire that those sins could be forgiven? Are you thirsting to get right with God? Hear Isaiah and he says, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. A message for everyone, but it's a message for everyone that is thirsty. So in relation to your spiritual life, in relation to your spiritual walk, in relation to your soul, we heard that in the open air. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul that is precious, your soul that's going to last forever. Where's it going? Is it going to heaven? Or is it going to hell in the lake of fire? Are your sins forgiven? Or are you just cruising through life? You know, Isaiah 55 is such a great chapter. You know, I love it when Isaiah writes, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways. You may say, Robert, I'm okay. I'm doing very well, pal. I'm not like my neighbor. You know, he injects or they inject all sorts of weird and wacky stuff into their veins and nose and all the rest of it. I'm not like those people. I'm not like the neighbor on the other side who's drunk every weekend and all the rest of it. I'm a better person than that. And you might be. But this message is for everyone. This message is for everyone who is thirsty, everyone who needs to get right with God, everyone who's come to this meeting, who's plugged in or tuned into this here. And if you're thirsty to get right with God, if you've got a spiritual thirst, I'm not right, I need to get peace with God, I need to have my sin forgiven, this message is for you. But how can I get right with God? That's why I read Isaiah 55. The whole chapter. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. There's some of you, you maybe wouldn't admit it, but you would think if you left your life behind, if you left everything near and dear to you, and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that somehow or other you're going to be impoverished. Somehow or other, God is going to be your debtor. God, I have given up my family. God, I have given up my wealth. God, I have given up all these sinful desires, and I've trusted Jesus, and you have come up and shortchanged me. Do you really think that's what the gospel is? Do you really think that God is going to be your debtor? Do you really think that forgiveness of sins is some light matter? Some light matter that doesn't really matter, really? Because I can live my life. I can go through my life without God. I can die without God. And I can go into eternity without God. But be assured of one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that one day we will stand before God. One day we'll give account before God. And we'll be guilty as charged. But God says in 2022, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. Oh, there's waters. There's waters of satisfaction. There's waters of salvation this afternoon. There's bread in the house of God. There's wine to strengthen and cheer. Come. But how do I come? How do I come to God? How do I come to God? It's all very well, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I would love to come. You know, whenever I was a wee boy, just the age of some of the children at the back there, you know, there used to be a song that Billy Graham made famous, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and now, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And my childishness, or in my simplicity, I wanted to come. I wanted to come and have my sins forgiven. I wanted to get right with God. I wanted to have peace with God, but I didn't know how to come. Oh, I heard the gospel messages. I believed the gospel messages. In fact, I probably could have preached the gospel message better than I'm doing now. But I didn't know how to come. And that's why we've read Isaiah 55. How do I come to God? How do I get right with God? How do I have my sins forgiven? How do I know that from now to everlasting, my sins are forgiven? I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm going to be in that land that's fairer than day. I'm going to be around that throne, and I'm going to sing praise unto God, unto the Lamb who loved us and washed us in his own blood. How can I get that assurance this afternoon? That's why Isaiah 55 was written, in my humble opinion. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. But how do I come? How do I come to God? How do I come and have my sins forgiven? Do I come up here and kneel down before me? No, you don't. How do I come to God and have my sins forgiven? Verse 2, why are you spending money for that which doesn't satisfy? Why are you working for that which satisfies not? And hear the words. Hearken diligently. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says. What does it say? Verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Here's this. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Verse 6. We have to listen. We have to listen to the word of God. But verse 6 says we have to seek the Lord while he may be found. We have to seek him while he may be found. And you know, the Bible is full of warnings. The Bible is full of cautionary tales. And I think there's a cautionary tale in verse 6. In fact, I believe there's two. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So in 2022, the fact that there's a gospel meeting, the fact that we're reading the word of God, the fact that you're in here because you're thirsty, the fact that you're in here because you're hungry, the fact you're in here because you don't know why you're here, but we're glad you are, and we're going to tell you that you need Christ in your life. And it says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children. You seek the Lord. You seek the Lord while he may be found. That's telling me that there's come a time that people are going to search for the Lord. Do you remember what the Lord says? When once the house, the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, and they begin to knock, open unto us, and it's too late. It's too late. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I don't know how to seek him. Where to seek him? What's the second part says? Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, if one of the children at the back fell off the chair, they wouldn't need to be told what to do. They wouldn't need to be told what to say. They'll simply call out, and their mum or dad would come rushing and gather them up and all the rest of it. And that's the same as God wants to do for you. We have to listen. We have to understand the urgency of this. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry to get right with God, you have to seek the Lord while he may be found. But how to do this? You call upon him while he is near. And you know, there's a beautiful verse in Acts chapter 17 I'm not much of a greeter, but it brings me to tears every time I read it. That the people would search after God, though he be not far from every one of us. God is near. The Spirit of God is upon the earth to challenge your heart, to challenge your thoughts, to awaken you to see your need, that you would be anxious to seek the Lord, that you would be anxious to call upon him while he is near. But that's not explaining, Robert, how I can be saved, how I can know I can be saved, how I can have my sins forgiven. You're not explaining it very well. Well, I do my best, but I think the Bible does such a great service here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen to this. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Those sins, those evil deeds that are taking you to hell, are you willing to turn from them tonight? Are you willing to turn your back in your sins? Here's what the Isaiah says to everyone. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's not going to be near forever, but he's near tonight. He's near this afternoon. If you want to be saved, you could be saved. If you want to have your sins forgiven, you could have your sins forgiven. But here's what you must do. Let the wicked forsake his way. Are you willing to turn from your sins this afternoon? Are you willing to turn from all those things that you've gone in for? All, I'm not even going to mention them, because you know what's in your life. You know what's in your heart. You know what's in your head. You know what you're thinking about. You know as soon as you go out the door what your plans are. Hear the words of Isaiah. Let the wicked forsake his way. Are you willing to forsake your ways? Are you willing to forsake your ways? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, had we thought about that, and it's just simple Simon thoughts, we can see what the wicked do. You can turn on the radio or the YouTube or anything else, and you can see what wicked people are doing. But you can never work out what people are thinking. And Isaiah covers this beautifully. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So the challenge is, are you willing to forsake your sins? Are you willing to leave it all behind? Are you willing to trust Christ? Are you willing to call upon him while he's near? All those things that you hold dear, all those things that you love, that you have devoted your life for 10, 20, 30, 40, umpteen years that you have lived in. Are you willing to forsake those? If you're not willing to forsake those, you'll never come into this everlasting agreement that God has. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. So here you are. You're standing before God. You come to the end of yourself, realizing you can do nothing to save yourself. You can be nothing to save yourself. You can give nothing to save yourself. And here you are, you're coming before God. You're willing to forsake your sin. You're willing to forsake those wicked thoughts. You're seeking the Lord while he may be found. And you call upon him while he is near. What is God's response to that? What is God in heaven's response to you if you come as a guilty sinner and stand before an awesome holy God and confess that you are a sinner, you deserve whatever would be coming to you, and you cry out for mercy? You cry out for mercy. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. He will. Not he might, or he could, or he will. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then, in case you're arguing still, God says through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do I come? How do I come before God? How do I come just as I am without one plea? How do I come before God and get my sins forgiven? Get peace with God to have this everlasting life that if I die, I will be absent from the body and present from the Lord. How do I get that? You come as you are. You seek the Lord while he may be found. You call upon him. Oh, you just call. What a call. Well, you know, when Peter was drowning, he didn't have time to go to the Bible to get a prayer template. He didn't need to go to the tabernacle to get a big, long prayer that would take today and tomorrow to recite. When Peter was drowning, he simply cried, Lord, save me. And you know, the Bible is so beautiful. It says, immediately, Jesus put forth his hand and saved him. And the Lord Jesus could do that in this place this afternoon. If you will seek the Lord while he may be found, if you will call upon him. Little children, if they're in need, they call to their parents. If you're in desperation and realize you're a sinner, if you cry out to God for mercy, what's it say? He will have mercy. What is mercy? Forgiveness. Mercy is holding back what I deserve. That God in heaven sees Robert Gray and all his sins, and Robert Gray continually sinning, Robert Gray going to live and die without Christ. And in mercy, he speaks. In mercy, he convicts. In mercy, he says, call upon me and I will save you. And that's what I did when I was 13 years old. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and God will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon all those sins washed away. The old life gone, everything become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and everything is new. But the question is, are you willing to forsake your sin? Are you willing to forsake everything and call upon the Lord and be saved now for time? And for eternity, let's close our eyes. Our Father, we bless thee for our Lord Jesus. We bless thee, Father, for one who is like no other. And we bless thee, Father, that this salvation came at an awful price.